ever since I was a wee lad, I was raised Catholic, and so somehow I ended up, you know how like some kids end up in like theater camp or, you know, music camp or whatever. I ended up in, for all intents and purposes, spiritual camp. And I guess it's my parents' way of like, oh, you know, you got to meet some friends or something on the weekend. And so, yeah, that somehow snowballed into altar serving. And so I worked my way up the ranks. So I used to be the altar server that was just in the middle of the procession. Just in the middle. I'm nobody, right? I'm a boring piece of meat in the middle of this white gown sandwich. And year after year, oh, I pined to be seen. I was being seen, but I wasn't being recognized, okay, in this procession. You know what I'm talking about?
There's a difference.
Yeah, I'm just wearing a uniform, right? I don't got no ranks. And eventually, through the graces of goodwill and Jesus Christ.
That's the only way you have to say his name.
Jesus Christ.
For this whole episode.
No, honestly, I think it's the earliest recollection I have of like where kindness and just being of service to any problem, right, gave me the opportunity to elevate myself to a different position.
Whoa.
Yeah. So then I, at some point, they're like, would you like to bear the cross? That's so funny to say that now. I'm like, yes, I would like to bear the cross. And so what that means is you're at the front of the line now and you're holding the cross and you're like the gates open. There was no gates, but the proverbial gates open. Sunday mass is in session. Oh, hymns are humming and you start the walk. You look back. You're the lead horse of this chariot. You're, you know, Rudolph. You're like, all right, let's.
The metaphors in this are great. Keep
going, let's go. Vroom, vroom, vroom. You know, hands gripped on the base of this scepter with Jesus Christ on the on the top, the crucifix. And I remember I used to have these questions of like, do I let my feet lead the way, or do I let the cross tilt forward a little bit so that it's like I'm presenting it to the audience? Yeah, I was already thinking theatrically, bro.
You were like, Jesus, take the wheel.
Some Sundays it felt like that. I was like, Jesus, take the wheel. I was just, I'm being a faithful servant here. Anyway, 7 or so years later of doing that, I get asked to not just do like the regular Sunday ceremony stuff, but like whenever the bishop would have the lead the sermon or the ceremony service. Yeah. And the bishop usually had 2 people flank, right? You had the person holding the bishop hat when he removes it. So you had to wear gloves, special gloves. Felt like Roger Rabbit. And
I'm glad you didn't say OJ.
Well, the gloves did fit, so I did not acquit. And no, in fact, I didn't. I kept going.
Yeah, you did.
Here's what I learned: when the bishop goes, the crossbearer is second to the person, at least in this situation, who had this like ball and chain type thing, and on the ball you put you burn incense in there. So you were working with live fire, baby. Yeah, that's dangerous. Rudolph don't got nothing on that. So I got to do that. So I was holding this little chain. I was wearing rings on my thumb. Had a chain coming down. For those of you who are listening, not watching, came down. And I remember I used to like drop that like that villain in Kill Bill. Like, would light that up and like do this. And what was awesome about that and completely theatrical is if you bend the chain far enough forward and you came back, you can have that ball of incense come back and clink on the chain that's like slack. So it'd be like, foof. Let's go! Jesus Christ! So I was that guy. And eventually, graduated through the graces of goodwill and Jesus Christ to a position where I got to hold the bishop's hat. And at that point, you're literally on the same level, sitting on the same level as the bishop in church, right? You are being recognized. You're not just being seen. Right, because the other altar servers, they're off in the pews on the ground level with the, you know, the audience, churchgoers. But this time, you know, decade later doing this, I'm up there with the bishop. Bishop Quinn, rest in peace. you know, holding that hat and like, you need your hat, sir? Let's go. So I would always know like when mass was over and stuff. My name is Tossie. You can find me at Tossie Alabaster. We're going to switch it up here.
I'm David Morales. You can find me everywhere at Active Poet.
And this is Our Time Job. A support.
A support. I was going to switch it up.
Go ahead.
Podcast for working artists from working artists.
That's right.
And we're talking about spirituality today, which is really funny to hear Tossie talk about all that stuff. And going into us planning this, he was like, I don't know if I consider myself spiritual. How many years did you put in the church? What? I feel like you had a whole life before
like,
I knew you.
Like 13, I would say. You know what's interesting? I've never regaled that story in the way that I have now. So you are hearing it for the first time.
You're saying it for the first time.
I'm saying it for the first time in that way. Because I'd never...
What?
Yeah. Sam has never even heard it in that way.
She has now.
No, she will when this episode comes out. But, you know, what's funny is I'd never rehearsed that either. I was literally playing it.
I could tell. I could feel you living through that.
I was living through it, bro. It was present tense for me.
It was the chuckles through it that made it believable for me.
Yeah. So we're talking about, at some point we were talking, well, Sam and I were talking about writing a one-man play, right? And it's that thing of like, I keep getting in my own way because I'm like, it's not that good. What am I going to talk about? Mm-hmm. She's like, talk about your life in Samoa. Like, what did you do? And that's one of the things. And I'm like, that would actually be kind of funny to like, you just imagine a stage door. You know, have you seen stage doors where it's just like the frame of the door that's on wheels, casters?
Oh, yeah.
You can move it wherever. I just love the idea that there's a stage door and then all you see is like the shadow of me pacing behind it. And like, I kick the door open and I'm on an old school telephone and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
That's funny.
And like, how do you incorporate your life story on stage in a way that's that, right? And in this case, like, that was a spiritual side, I suppose. And then I also went to like a Catholic high school. Like, I went to Catholic school all my entire life. I went to an all boys school. Yeah.
I know you went to all boys school, but yeah, I didn't know it was a Catholic school.
Yeah.
You're forgetting details, my friend, when you're telling me these things.
Or purposely omitting.
Waiting for these right episodes to be like.
I guess. I was waiting for the right moment, I think. Yeah. I can't just unload the whole thing, you know?
I like these podcasts because I feel like sometimes we forget about the details.
Yes.
But the fact that we like keep touching like our lives and our stories, mm-hmm. like you'd be like, oh yeah, did I mention this? And I'm like, no, you didn't. And I'm learning and I love it.
it's you know, we can't be sitting around a campfire drinking Capri Sun and I'm like, yeah, by the way, Jesus Christ was in my life, and yeah, this Capri Sun reminds me of the blood of Christ.
If that's how it comes up, that's how it comes up.
I guess
go ahead. Catholic school your whole life?
Yeah, my whole life. And so when I went to SF State for my first and second year of college, and that's not Catholic at all, if I remember. So that was a bit of a, like, oh, I don't have to, like, there's no ritual here, right? Because ever since I was a kid, every part of the academic world had some kind of spiritual ritual, right? So one day I'll tell you why I skipped first grade, but before that...
Hey, go for it now.
No, I want to hear more of your stuff after.
No, this is interesting.
We'll save it.
We're going to remind you of that before this
show is over.
I got you.
School would always start with like a morning prayer, right? And then high school was kind of the same thing too, where our principal at some point was also the village's pastor. Yeah. So there was always that sense of like spirituality around. It was just a matter of how much did I involve myself in it. And now as an adult in my 40s and thinking about my arts practice, like how much of that is still there and how much of it influences the daily work. Right. And honestly, I think it's the most important thing is that faith that it's going to turn out okay as long as I continue working hard, and permission to talk to myself as if I was talking to someone else. Okay. Like a higher power.
Yeah.
The higher self of me, right? Or like whatever that is. So problem solving, I think we talked about this, right? Like I'll either go to sleep. I'm a, you know, anxiety napper. Mm-hmm. But also, like, if I'm in the middle of something, yeah, people talk to themselves for a lot of reasons. They want to hear the problem out loud, or they're trying to, like, navigate through certain things. But when I do it, it's almost like I'm talking to a, you know, in theater class, they're like, who are you talking to? Who's your audience? Mm-hmm. You're doing a monologue?
Yeah.
Who's that directed to? Because you could tell.
Yeah, totally.
So for me, it's always like, oh, I'm directing it to, like, my God.
Yeah.
Whatever that is at that moment.
Yeah. I always love that. That's a great acting tip that Toss, you just laid on to. I got that same note when doing commercials.
Okay.
When it's like, oh, you have this speech like, you know, you ever had a hard day? And, you know, like, who are you talking to? Are you talking to a kid? Are you talking to a grandma?
Like your Gran Turismo?
Are you talking to, thank you.
Yeah.
Are you talking
I listened to that. I thought you were talking to me. I was like in my seat going vroom, vroom.
I was imagining Tossie in his seat.
Yeah.
His chonies. But like the way you're imagining your audience will dictate how you were explaining it.
Oh,
talk
wow.
to a third yes. grader, way different than you would talk to your grandma. Way different than I'd talk to Tossie. Be like, hey, you got milk? You know, I might joke around with Tossie. But yeah, spirituality with our craft. You just touched on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Funny. I'll give you a little story that's the reason why I got this tattoo like on my neck. Because
how's that pronounced by the
Maktoub.
Way? Maktoub.
But of course, there's a lot of jokesters around us that will call me Maktub, or
really?
As Karen will say, oh, backwards, it's butt cam. And I'm like, great.
Why?
Great. Thanks for making my choices.
Why would you read it down?
Thanks for making my choices. Like me reconsider this. Because I got it from the book, The Alchemist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And this means in Arabic, it's written or destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think a lot about my career.
Okay.
And like, you have to have a lot of faith
in
anything you do. It doesn't matter being an artist. I just think being an artist, you have to have a lot of faith. Cause unlike looking up the corporate ladder and seeing like, oh, I have this promotion. Yeah. It's like, we can be exponential and we can also take little baby steps at our goal. And I wanted it somewhere where I couldn't see it, but I know it's there.
Oh, wow. So I'd always wondered, I don't know why I didn't ask. Maybe I was waiting for this episode.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, why did you place it there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the placement. I always liked that style of tattoo, just like down your neck, like vertically. But yeah. I just didn't know what I wanted until I wanted it, you know.
By the way, all tangent, but I meant to tell you this some time ago. Your fade's looking real fresh.
Thank you. Shout out Swabby Styles and shout out Jave Lens at Lifted Barbershop. They always got me looking
Yo,
right.
It's so clean.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good lens.
Those are also artists too. People who do hair.
Oh, yeah.
Sheesh.
Absolutely.
Sheesh. That's also a loyal relationship.
That's a craft.
Did we talk about relationships in one of these episodes?
I mean, I think all our episodes have some form of relationship.
Man.
But yeah.
A man's relationship or a woman or a person's relationship with their barber, mandatory. My friend just moved to San Diego and he said the very first thing he did was try to find a cool barber. The very first
you
thing.
You gotta.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta. I mean, they're real up close with implementations of death. Yeah.
We did there.
Great. Thank you. Anyway, you're talking about the tattoo and
spirituality,
faith.
Yeah, faith in this career. A lot of times, I like to tell directors that I'm a vessel for their vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I honestly believe with art, sometimes I'll be listening to my music and I'm like, how did I come up with that?
Yeah.
And I honestly think a lot of the times I'm not coming up with this.
It's coming. You're just a vessel.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I'm in the studio and all I have to do is be there and be present for the moment.
You're just channeling.
And show up for it. And it will just come through me.
Mm-hmm.
And trusting that like I'm doing this and I'm serving something else. Maybe the higher version of myself is being like, I got you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get it, you know?
It's like hovering.
Yeah. He's like, wait till you hear this, you know?
Yes. So I like that'd be a great, that just gave me some rad visual of like an illustration of this part, you're automatized or something, and the back of your mind is exposed and there's a writer there. I'm sure that's already that's cool. A thing, but like a writer there thinking or like doing different things that, you know.
It's a thing, but it hasn't been a thing from you.
Like what does that look like if I drew
it? Yeah, and I'm glad you said that and that got me inspired, because anytime someone's like, oh, I can't do something because it's already been done, I'm like, yes, but they haven't seen you do it.
Yeah. Your version.
It's like just because Jordan's played basketball and he was known as the greatest player, should no one else play basketball ever again? No.
Shaking my head here for those of you who are listening, not watching.
Yeah. Oh, I heard you shaking head.
It's my hair.
But I also think it's that thing of like representation matters.
Yeah.
Like people need to see someone who looks like them do it. And it could be worse. It could be better than the staple person doing it. But we all want to see it.
Yeah. If someone goes, oh, I got into it because I saw you and I thought I could do better. All right, go for it. Yeah, actually, did you know that's one of my guiding principles of curiosity in art? Is if I notice something artistic or seemingly artistic and I catch myself saying, oh, I could do better than that, then I make it a focus to respect that other artist by going back home and trying to.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, I think I would say, 15% of the art that I picked up has been because of that.
Nice.
So I don't say it anymore.
It gets
expensive trying to buy these new hobbies.
Straight up. But I also used to hate on music for a while. I'd be mm-hmm. Man, this rap sucks. But then I felt myself starting to become I was morphing into a troll of somebody who just critiques the state of hip-hop and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why don't I just be the solution and make the music that I think the community deserves?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the better solution than just hating and being like, oh, you listen to this person, well, that person sucks, because
right,
well then why don't you just create more of the solution?
Yeah. There was a, I don't know if this relates in any way, but I thought I'd share it with you. There was a radio interview with Lil Uzi Vert. Yeah. And I think this was before he kind of blew up. And the host was this older host guy who was almost coming at him in a very challenging way, because he was like, oh, well, you know what? You know, it's tradition. Why don't you freestyle here? It's not Sway in the morning. Someone else. And he was like, yeah, I'll play some beats. And Lil Uzi said, as long as it's none of that old school stuff. And that made the host what you mean? Right? Upset that he said that. He's like, it's almost like you're disrespecting.
Yeah.
But Lil Uzi, he doubled down. He's like, it's not that I'm disrespecting. It's just that my style is my style. And I want to do it on this. And if you do it with that music, you're going to disappoint your listeners and my fans. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, way to stand your ground. And I guess what ended up happening later is it's true. He blew up.
Yeah.
Right. And he continues to
Do well.
So
he's got the theme song for Blue Beetle. That's the
trailer. Oh wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but that's a beautiful way of knowing thyself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like a lot of this people's spirituality is it's through wanting to know, right? Themselves, who they are, where they're going, where they came from.
Yeah. Great questions.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I learned a lot about myself when I went to that 10-day meditation retreat.
Yes.
Wild.
10-day monk.
10-day monk, Dav.
10-day monk, Dav, yeah. So this meditation retreat, walk us through it. I think there's an interesting thing of where I know a handful of artists that do not like to meditate.
Yeah.
And I haven't quite pried as why do you not like to meditate? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. And I have noticed that I have friends that they get scared.
I feel it.
When they have to confront themselves.
I feel it.
And yeah, that fear is so strong.
I feel it, bro.
All right, go on. So I remember when I first met you, I think were either embarking on this meditation and I was like, that's cool. I'd be interested in doing one of those. Mm-hmm. And so walk us through kind of that spiritual practice and what it's done for you.
Yeah. I think when we first met, I just finished doing it because I started Red Ladder a year after I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe so. I think that was the trajectory. Or I just finished, whatever. Anyways, One of the beautiful things before going into this that I learned from there was, you know, ever since we're a baby, we're like trying to perceive this outside world, like our you know, our vision's getting stronger, our senses are heightening, and we're trying to like, what's going on? Oh, this person's mom. Oh,
yes.
That's a lamp. Oh, this is a podcast.
The world is huge.
The world is huge.
Yeah.
But how much time do we actually spend checking in with ourselves and doing our internal inventory? Yeah.
No, we don't have the language for it.
We don't.
Yeah.
Or the skills.
The skills, the technique. Capacity.
Yeah. We definitely have the capacity, but we just don't make time for it.
We'd probably explode.
Maybe.
Trying to take the whole world in and our internal life in at the same time.
Yeah.
You probably would explode.
Yeah. So what happened to me in the time was I was going through a lot in my life. I just had like a lot of negative turmoil with me and my sister. She was currently like, you know, kind of went on deep end doing drugs. And then me and my mom were like battling because I was trying to help her. But I had all these other things going on. So I like left my mom's house to try to help my sister for like a month. A lot of turmoil happened with me and my sister where like, you know, that's ruined our relationship because I was trying to help her. She was trying to help me. But also like through that, like, I just got to see a different side of her with like drug abuse and like took my money and then like all this stuff happened, manipulation. Because she's a very smart person. So like you enhance that with all this creativity.
Just right. Yeah. Yeah.
Went wild. So anyways, I ended up getting away from that situation. I was on bad terms with my mom. So then I was living at my ex-girlfriend's house, who was my ex-girlfriend at the time. And I was just like struggling. I had no money to my name. I just had like a bag of my clothes. Like I had it at my mom's house, but the pride was getting the best of me.
Of course.
And then I was talking to my boy Chuck, who has gone on like four of these already. And he was like, I'm about to go back again. Do you want to come with me? And at the time I was at the lowest I've ever been in my life. And it's a free meditation retreat.
It's free?
It was free. The one I went to.
Wow.
It's free. They house you for 10 days, 11 days. They feed you. All they ask you to do is to follow their schedule and put away any electronics for the whole time you're there and stay silent the whole time.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? I got nothing to lose at this time. So my boy Chuck picked me up and we drove all the way to Kelseyville. That's the one we went to, but they're scattered all throughout the US and I think the world, honestly.
When you say stay silent, do they mean just you can't interact with anyone else or you literally should not open your mouth to make any sound?
Yeah. The teachers will approach you like when you have like group meditations, they'll call your name at the like at sections and ask you like how's it going for you and like get you going. But the main reason why they don't want you talking is because us as human beings, we like to talk a lot. Hence all these podcasts popping up in the world.
We're trying to express.
And we have a bad habit of comparing.
Yes.
So if like, let's say day three, you feel like through your meditation, you're levitating.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm having a hard time.
You're not there.
And I'm not there. And I'm listening to you and I'm like, I must be a failure
in
my meditation because Tossie's over here levitating, talking to Buddha, and I'm like
hungry and growling.
Exactly, like, and I can't focus, you know?
Yes, yes.
So a big spirituality portion of it, it's based in Buddhist beliefs, and it's like you'll trust your experience. Whatever's happening for you is right. Like, don't let anybody tell you a different truth that's like you're not experiencing.
Right.
You know?
Your feelings are valid in that regards.
Exactly. And I really connected to that. So when you get there, you know, they make you dinner and then they talk you through it and they let you know what's going on. You ask any questions. You set up your house. You know, you lock away your electric devices because you're off the grid for like 10 days. And then they throw you in that first night with an hour meditation.
Wow.
And they guide you through how to meditate throughout the process because it's their style. It's called Vipassana. But every time you meditate in there, it's an hour. There's no warm-ups. There's no like, hey,
you just
10 minutes today, 15 minutes tomorrow.
An hour
sitting down. They have a lot of pillows and a lot of like blankets and stuff so you can get comfortable. But yeah, it's an hour every single time. And I've gone twice now. And you're usually meditating.
How long between each session did you take?
So there's a, I want to say there's like six sessions a day for like the group meditation, and there's like solo sessions in.
Oh no, no. I mean, when you said you went twice to. Oh, the whole retreat? 10 days or.
Yeah, the whole 10 days.
Yes, right. You did. So how long?
I went in 2016 and then I went in 2022. I went last year.
Oh, so like a 4 year.
Yeah. Four year difference. And yeah, it's difficult. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but probably the most rewarding.
On that second return, on the return.
Yeah.
What? Oh, this is so fascinating. What? I guess what expectations or what was exciting for you? Because you already knew what to expect,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like nothing was really going to surprise you outside of what you might meditate about.
Yeah. So I think number one, I had PTSD as soon as I got into the place. I was like, God, this is so hard. I was like, all these people smiling, I have no idea. And I was like, oh. I was like, yeah, I kept on, like my girl was with me because she wanted to go for the first time because I've talked so highly about it. And yeah. I was like, oh. And I was like, she was like, what's going on? I was like, You'll find out.
Can you
like,
tap out at any point?
You can. They don't tell you to they can't contain you, but yeah. They encourage you to stay. Because I want to say to anybody, have no expectations if you're thinking about doing this, but I promise you that 10th day when you could speak, you are so happy. Your cheekbones are flexing all day.
You might just start a podcast.
No, like the 10th day. Yeah. Oh, the 10th day podcast, that'd be cool. But yeah, that day is great. And like, you feel like you've gone through something with everyone.
Yeah.
So it's like this whole like journey you're going through where you're alone, but you're not alone because people are around you the whole time.
And solitude or not suffering silence or solitude, but yeah, like communalness.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're waking up early in the morning to meditate and like the food was fire at this place. It was all vegetarian and vegan. Mm-hmm. And like, we watched these discords at the night. From the guy who brought the technique over from India. His name's Goenka. And he would talk about what you're going through. And he was hilarious. He was cracking me up. So I was like,
he's worked on his routine.
Yeah. Between the videos and the food, like that saved me every day. I was like, oh, I have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
But on the first time, like I'm going to give you guys the honest truth. I tell everybody who wants to go, I was like, any way you can get through it, get through it. Meaning if you need to go on a nature walk during your break, if you need to take a nap during your break or like meditation in your room, do that. Mm-hmm. I know they don't recommend that. I'm sorry, those out there who are like strict believers, but like it's hard. So for your first time, if you need to get through it anyway, I say do that.
Well, and the fact that you went back is, I think, indicative of kind of what you received in the process.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I needed to be there that first time. And the second time, I wanted to challenge myself to answer your question. What I got from it the second time was, I was comparing my first experience and like the level of where I got to. Mm-hmm. And I was frustrated with myself that I wasn't getting there. So I was like, all right, what I can do is try to maximize how many hours a day I can meditate. Mm-hmm. And what I got to was 9 hours a day. I was meditating.
That's hardcore.
It was. But I was hella proud of myself after that. Cause I was like, maybe I didn't get the results that I wanted to, like
9 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, look, so when you said an hour, I'm like, bet, I'm in it. Like, I could do that.
Not an hour a day. No, each time you sit is an hour.
Yeah.
And there's sessions throughout the day. That's all, you're just meditating.
Oh, sessions. Okay, I see. Not just like 1 hour a day.
No. There's like a morning one that's like 2 hours, and there's breakfast, and then there's a group one at like 8 for another hour. Then there's like a break. Then there's like, you can meditate in your room, or you can meditate in the temple area. And what I noticed early on, they split the men and women, so you're separate and there's no like meditating together, whatever you kids want to call it, and in different housings. But I noticed when my girlfriend was signing up that they put her in a tent outside, and everyone else was like housed, you know, and she didn't want to be there. So I noticed early on, I think day two, that like she was always in there early, like for the meditations. Like you can always meditate when you're supposed to meditate in your dorm in the group hall. And she was always in there. And I was like, I think, and I was smart about this, she was in there because she didn't want to be in a tent. Mm-hmm. So I found myself boosting up my meditation hours to be there in there with her. Mm. Not that we can communicate in anything, but just so she knew there was somebody else going through it with her.
Yeah. It didn't feel so alone.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I boosted up my meditation hours because I saw my girlfriend struggling to be like,
but look at you, like, also kind of sacrificing.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in there together.
Yeah.
I drove. I was like, I ain't leaving. I'm going to see this through.
Yeah. What a great challenge. And you rose to it. So that second time around, would you say that the knowing the expectations on the session and what you're capable of doing were ways that you, I guess, allowed yourself to just kind of accept whatever is going to be happening?
Yeah. After like day four, when I was like upset with where I like couldn't get to, I was like, you know what, whatever. I'm like, I'm just going to boost up what I can control. Mm-hmm. And that's what made it easier for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do any of those, I guess because that's all a lesson, right? Like every day is a lesson. Every hour of that time away is a lesson. The whole thing afterwards is a giant lesson that you then, I'm sure, spend time digesting even after.
Of course.
When you're back in kind of the noisy world. Are there things from that you now call a practice that you incorporate into your daily artistic life? Right, like if you know that you're in a creative rut, I guess there's an example, you say, okay, I need to put myself away in a silence, but also silence with others.
That's great. No, I have not applied as much as I'd like to. I think I got out of the way of myself a little bit. Because I remember the first time I came back, I wrote like 10 songs within like 2 weeks and I dropped it and I was like, I'm gonna take my music seriously. Like, why am I in the way of myself? Because when I was there and doing my internal inventory, I got access to like so many memories that like I haven't.
Internal inventory, where did you pick that phrasing up?
Well, I just think of like, you know, I look at inventory, anything. What is inventory? It's like you're stacking products, you're stacking like items. And I think of all the stuff we carry with us. And then I think of like movies like Inside Out with like all the files and stuff. But like how many?
I think of The Matrix.
Or The Matrix. Yeah. With all those like shelves coming through. But like how many of that stuff is like untouched? Like things you learn in school that you haven't like accessed in a while? Like, is it still there or is it gone? You know, is it like fluffy now that's like creative nonfiction in the
Can
way?
Can I still be an ultra server now?
So it's like I got to see a lot of memories. And like there was one memory like I always go back to. And it was like, I remember it used to rain so much here in San Jose when I was little.
Oh my God.
And I had this like cool like image in my head of like, I remember looking at the like elementary school and it's just like pouring down rain. And I was like,
what an imagery.
Yeah. I was like, it used to be like that all the time. And I used to like walk home from school to that. And I was like, I forgot about those rainy days.
Yeah.
And then I got access, something that made me happy. I think it was on the first time I did it, on the fifth day. You know, I was in this rut and everything, and something that made me really happy is I remember doing my first ever rap show, like professional one.
Ooh.
And it was a big fiasco where the lady who sent us tickets, like, didn't actually put us on the list. We weren't allowed to perform there because it was a 21 and up club, and we were like 19 and 18 at the time. My boy who I was performing with used a fake ID, couldn't get in. It was this whole fiasco, and my mom just like told the bouncers, like, my son works so hard. He has all his friends. He's going to perform in there.
Let's go, mom.
Like, the bouncer was like, he can perform, and then he's got to leave right after.
Yeah.
Like, bet.
That's a good consolidation.
So we all got in, and I was performing, like, the 1.5 songs I had because we had a 3-song set, and he was going to do a song, and we were going to split a song.
Yeah.
And I remember rapping one of my songs off my first mixtape, and my best friend Grant being in the front row, rapping along with me. And I haven't accessed that memory in so long.
Yeah.
So like going through this hard thing and just remember that, I'm like, dang, that was a cool time. I was like, I'm my best friend rehearse and rap like my raps with
him. Oh, what a great memory.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Grant.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I remember that name.
Yeah, Grant. And it was his birthday recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in my
so
memory.
Crazy.
So when I first... No, not first met you, but there was a time later, I think you were already with Red Ladder Theater Company, where I think I just casually said, it's your friend's birthday today, isn't it, Grant?
Yeah.
And you're like, what? How'd you? I'm like, I don't know, man. It just kind of came up. And
the things that stick with us.
The things that stick with us. Wild. Maybe that's that thing of spiritual practices that don't feel spiritual, but are intuitive.
Yeah, like you like you were telling me that you have some that you like didn't know were spiritual that you do, and you're like, oh, that's what that's called. I do that.
Yeah, I mean, did I really talk about that? Where I like, I feel like I'm talking to I think I did just say that, right? Or I think I'm talking to myself, but really, I think I'm directing it towards
whatever God is to you.
Yes, or whatever the higher power is in this moment, right?
Like, do you not consider yourself Catholic anymore?
I wouldn't consider myself a practicing Catholic, meaning like I don't go to church anymore. And my parents are like, when was the last time you went to church?
And what's the answer?
I was like, I go all the time in my mind.
I mean, the stage is my church.
You know? Yeah. Well, I as much as I'd like to joke and say that, they would understand it. So I want to use that joke. Or they would get it, but they're like, ha, 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 go to church.
There's something so spiritual about being on stage and performing in front of people. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. You're communing, I think, and you're tapping into something outside of yourself, I think, if you're doing it right.
Have you ever been in so much in that flow state, which is where I feel like it gets spiritual, where you are just like, you feel like you're watching yourself?
Yeah, I would say recently, actually, when I did Every Brilliant Thing.
Oh, I can imagine.
Johnny Donahoe and Duncan McMillan. For those of you who don't know, it's a one-person performance piece in which the character is reliving their life through storytelling and about the self-harm that one of their parents had gone through. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it's like a sad story, but the character's really cognizant about looking for the silver lining in things. And I just remember, if you think about one person play, that's the whole show on your back, right? Or like in this case, you know, I shared it with another actor named Dane Lentz, who offered the sign language interpretation of the show alongside me, which was really rad. But at some point you spend, you know, you're 40 minutes into about an hour long play, and you've just been hearing your own voice. And we talked about this in some other episode. We're like, you gotta be able to live with your voice. Yeah. And like not be judgmental about it. And I just remember like, oh wow, these people have been hearing my voice for however long. I guess I'm not unlike this podcast in some way. But in some cases, like I'm directing this voice at someone or like a direction at these people. And there's not like in a pastoral way, but I felt removed from my body for some second and just being like, wow, we are all in it right now. We are all invested in this story. Oh, shoot, story, right? Get back in there. But that's that moment of super recent, right? Where it's like, this is unlike any feeling.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just how everyone is seated to, you know, if you are listening to this or watching, and this theater this is the first time this particular theater, City Lights Theater Company, has ever done something outside of a proscenium seats. Second?
They did the Wolves.
Oh, that's right, because it was, it's kind of come out. Yeah. But this is the first time they've ever done theater in a round.
This is true.
And that was a wild adventure for that theater company. And, you know, I had no real hand in that outside of like, yep, that's as diplomatic of a seating that you can have. It's just great. But yeah, there's something about being in the middle of that and like how the lights are the same lights. Like there's no frills, right? You could see everybody and everybody can see you.
Yep.
And I think if I didn't have that sense of like spirituality and acceptance that I am a vessel, like we were talking about, that might have gone a different way. Mm. That might have like demolished my mental health in some other way. Because I gave myself up to it at some point where it's like, it's less about like me learning these lines, you know, because it's in there already. Mm-hmm. It's more about like, someone wrote this, someone cared deeply about this. And I, through that, also care deeply about the story. How do I remove myself from it and just be that vessel? And I think that takes a lot of like,
yeah,
intuitive / like meditative practices to get to, right?
How do you tell the story in the most authentic way possible?
and involve people in it.
Yeah. Or do justice to the story and to the audience member. You were great in that. We can keep talking about that. That play is such a beautiful play. And
thanks for seeing it twice.
Work. Of course. Man, I enjoyed it. And I love bringing people to that, you know?
It was a big surprise, huh, when people laughed.
Yeah. I love it. It's a good practice. And that's actually a great play to talk about, a spiritual practice that I do, which is gratitude.
Express huge gratitude,
you know. It's like all the brilliant things that happen in this world, and specific things like finishing ice cream that doesn't drip on you, you know. It's like something like a brilliant thing like that, you know.
Yep. The bottom of an ice cream cone where the chocolate and the vanilla ice cream is mixed. Yeah. Oh, so good.
Great.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of practices I do that, besides that, that are spiritual.
Yeah, I guess a question I have for you is when was the strongest you've ever felt, oh, this is just blind faith right now. I just got to trust. I'm going to come out of this a different person, not saying good or bad, but a different person, and I'm just going to trust in it. Because I think a lot of performers or artists come across that, right? Or oh, someone wants to give me money for this, or someone wants to take me on a tour.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never left the country, or I've never left the state. Yeah. That's a big fear for some people. And that's, you know, and rightly so. You're leaving your...
I would say the meditation retreat, probably that's the biggest one. But I remember when I first signed to my LA agent, she was very... she was very hesitant to sign me, to say.
Because you're in a different region.
Exactly. Okay. And she's had experience with Bay Area actors.
Okay. Fair.
That, you're not going to be as available as, my LA person.
So 20 minutes away.
So I remember telling her and our boss at the time, being I really want to take this acting thing seriously, and I know I need to be flexible for it.
Mm-hmm.
And our boss, love her, because she was I already put in enough time where there she understands I can do the work and lead a workshop. And she was as long as you let me know as much in advance as you can,
you're of value.
And I told the LA agent that whenever you need me, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. You know, and I could tell she was testing me. Sometimes it'd be if you're not there, I'm gonna call this quits, you know.
She's finding a reason.
Yeah. And she test me. It'd be I'd get a text or an email from her at 10 p.m. that I got to be there in L.A. the next day at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? I was like, I got a couple hours to figure this out.
Yes.
And I just drive all the time. I took that blind faith and
wow.
But from that, man, I learned so much. And I booked the Nickelodeon stuff. And I did the thing in Korea.
Yeah.
I did the Call of Duty commercial. There was a lot that I learned from that.
That was fun. I kind of experienced that through your photos.
Elf
and your Korea trip.
It was fun.
Your South Korea trip.
Yeah, it was fun. No, it was North Korea.
That's why I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, you haven't seen it. No, that was fun. When it comes to spirituality too, I was baptized and I was raised Catholic.
I was dunked as well.
We were dunked. It was a dunk tank for babies.
I didn't know. I had no choice in it. That's a whole other topic. I had no choice. I just got dunked.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ said, "What's up?" Jesus Christ.
But I know my mom and my grandma even more are very spiritual, and they go to church all the time.
Mm-hmm.
My mom not as much, but she has a prayer book by her bed that always reads. Yeah. But I feel for myself, I align more with the Buddhist philosophy, reincarnation. You know, the energy you give.
Well, and there's different types, right? Too.
Yeah.
For those of you who are out there watching, listening, who are are interested in exploring that, there's a couple of different sects of it, I think.
Yeah. And my godbrother studied theology, I believe it's called, and he used to
study of religion,
of religions, and used to travel. And he's crazy person to talk to. Maybe we'll have him on here one day, because he's an actor.
And no kidding.
Yeah, he used to be an actor, and then now he's just lived in a bunch of temples and has traveled the world. He's crazy, but I love and crazy and it's so fascinating.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is I think having my dad pass at a young age for me kind of left me feeling upset with God.
Of course.
You know? So I don't think I ever wanted, I'd find myself talking to him all the time. And I know my dad prepped me, being yo, this is not goodbye. I got to do some stuff with the angels. You know, he'd joke around like that. So like at the funeral, my mom always says like, yo, she was like, I kept on going up to people like, don't cry. He's just an angel now. Like I used to like tell people that. And like, I didn't understand it, but like, you know,
but that was his way of like giving you a tool.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think the anger really started happening as soon as I was like 13 or so. And I needed guidance and I didn't have it, you know,
you were puberty.
Yeah, it's a puberty time, you know?
Yeah, you're
trying to get girls. You're trying to, like, establish dominance, and you're trying to, like, you know, be somebody.
You don't know what your hormones are doing to your chemistry, for sure. Yeah, yeah. You'd need another, like, another older male who's gone through it to kind of say, like, what you're feeling is
exactly
not unusual.
And that's why I think I get some envy sometimes when, like, you know, you see these crazy baseball players or like Steph Curry after he shoots a three, he always points up and I'm like, I wish I had a relationship or like that much faith and like, yo, it's all you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like something like that.
Right. It's okay. I think that thing of like, I feel, and this is my opinion, you can't be 100% spiritual all the time. Meaning like that, where you just said, or like, I wish I had that. I think there are moments in life where it just seems so unreal to you that it's unfolding.
Yeah.
That you allow yourself to just say, that's way out of my like pay grade. And that's something.
I agree that there's something, you know, the universe, you know, called the energy. Maybe it's God. I don't know if it's a man up there or it's a woman, you know, like.
It's definitely a woman.
It's definitely like, I believe that. But like, I don't know. But like, do I believe in higher powers? For sure.
Oh, yeah.
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I know there's something working on. And like, it's crazy how much similarities we have to like the elements of the universe in us or like our eyes.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah.
Stuff
the
like that.
Dust.
Have you seen that when like people get cremated and they take a picture of that and it's like, it looks like space?
I nerd out about that stuff.
We are stardust.
We are literally, yes. And transference of energy, like I believe in that. Like, there is 100% things to be said about like, you change your frequency and that's what you'll start to attract that.
Mm-hmm.
It might take a little bit. It's not, I don't think a lot of these things are like instant, right? So get that out of your mind.
Yeah. It's a law of attraction, you know?
And I truly, truly, truly believe in that.
Agreed.
So I remember there was a time where I'm like, I would like to experience, I just said it out loud. I would like to experience what it's like to do back to back to back shows because
and you did.
Yeah. Twice. Cause I witnessed my, like our friends do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not comparing my skill with theirs in any way. I'm just saying like, at that time I thought, gosh, I'd like to get that kind of practice or I'd like to know what that feels like. And I did. And I'm, which is great. Cause now I'm like, I don't like doing back to back to back to back shows.
I knew you wouldn't when you told me that. And I was like, I know you're ready for it. Cause you were asking for a challenge. And I totally imagine a cutaway to like, whoever's up there being like, okay.
Challenge accepted.
And just like sending it and like just waiting in time for it to come and it finally gets to you and you're like,
it was Donkey Kong barrel rolling.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I was curiosity for a new challenge. Like what's the new challenge?
I'm glad you got and now you have that to know you don't like it.
Yeah, I don't particularly enjoy it.
And I think that's a very important thing when we're talking about curiosity, period, is just like give yourself the opportunity to like check things out, try things to see if you don't like it before you make an opinion.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, especially with music, when people tell me like, do you like this type of music? I'm like, I don't know. And like, I'm not going to hate on something from just listening to one thing. I'm like, does this person have an album? Let me listen to it and like maybe try to understand.
Yeah.
The energy in there is very like angsty. I get this energy. It reminds me of the why I like Green Day.
Got right. It. Yeah, yeah.
But like, does this connect to me? They're not talking about anything like I don't like, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, with religion, like, you're interested in the meditation retreat, I'll put a link below for y'all to check it out. You know, it's all free.
I mean, I've already expressed interest in doing it. I think it's just a matter of like, oh, when do I do that? And like,
I know it's time. That's another factor against us. Before we end this episode, can we hear why you the first grade story? I forgot what you said about like why you didn't show up to first grade or something.
Yeah, I showed up bright and early. And
if y'all can't hear it, Tossy has a huge smile on his face right now.
It just always cracks me up because it's so silly and yet it's a core memory.
I love it.
Catholic school, St. Teresa Elementary School. mind you, my mom was up early every day, 4:30, to get coffee ready, to get my uniform pressed. Shout out mom. She didn't believe in like pressing it the night before for some reason. So I wore stuff that was like, this is right out of the toaster.
Mm-hmm. It's always still warm. Oh, it's hot.
And my dad would take me to school because it was on the way to his work. And he's the only one that drove. So out I pop out of this like Nissan pickup truck. And first day of school, he takes me. It's kind of like this roundabout drop off area. And the way that this elementary school is kind of structured, think of it like Twix bars. You know how like they're kind of next to each other, but they're staggered, right? Okay. So like one Twix bar had grade 1 through 4, and then the other Twix bar had 5 to 8.
Oh no!
And there's like this giant kind of field between. It seemed giant because I was a kid.
No, keep going.
Anyway, he drops me off, and we're at one end of the Twix bar where fourth grade is. So I have to get to first grade. So that's on the complete opposite side.
Okay.
He points. He points down. He goes, "Okay, son. Your classroom is over there." My only assumption is they'd already seen this place before I even, you know, of course, when they enrolled me. My dad had a lot of faith in me, I guess. And so I go, okay. So I take my backpack and my lunch pail. And I'm already like, because I'm having separation anxiety.
Of course.
Hey, guess what? I'm an introvert. Who'd have thunk? I didn't know. Oh. I'm walking there. I'm ambling. I got my slippers on, aka flip flops, aka slides, whatever you want to call it here in the US. Flap, 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 making my way.
A little tossy, I'm sorry. Keep going.
I either run out of patience or the bell has rung, and so I'm in this kind of pressure zone of like making a choice. So I'm walking and I duck into. This is why you need to go first grade so you can learn how to count. So I go into the second grade classroom. And I think I know why. I think because there's a bridge between that building and the building where the cafeteria and the admin was. And that bridge is separated right where the second grade classroom and the first grade classroom are. So I think naturally my brain thought this is the end. So I duck into the second grade classroom and we're talking about spirituality. First day of class. Or any first routine in class, set your bag down, put it in the cubby, sit down, morning prayer. I'd never experienced that, right? Even in kindergarten, we didn't do that. So there's something eerie to me as a kid with like kids humming or like saying the same thing. And they knew it and I didn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you felt out.
I felt like an outsider. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And and of course, the separation anxiety has kicked in real hard. So I'm like, I miss my dad, my parents, and my comforts. I start crying. You know, it's that like slight lip quiver.
Yeah.
To straight up, I think like it's on my uniform. If you can see white shirt or like a white button shirt become dark, it's because it's wet. Yeah. It totally, totally stops morning prayer. Already, more reasons to cry. Oh no, I've caused this. Teacher comes around and she could not figure out why I'm crying. And I'm not able to communicate that. Mind you, English was my second language at the time. And
were they only speaking English there too?
Well, there's Samoan, so they were speaking like a broken English. So it wasn't even like,
got it.
Yeah, it wasn't even clearly like, you know, not proper English, but like, you know, I didn't recognize it as much. Plus, it's hard to hear over your crying. Your ears clog up. They couldn't decide what to do with me. And at some point, the teacher goes, oh, you're actually not supposed to be in this classroom. So she moves me to the first grade classroom. And I get there and I sit. And they're in the middle of prayer. And I lose it. Like, you thought I was bad before. I'm like, I look like a wet cherry. Like,
again.
Unconsolable, right? And the teacher there was a... She gets the principal, who was one of the sisters, you know, like the nuns, I guess. They phone up my parents. Oh, wait, no. What ended up happening was I'm crying. But this time I'm crying because I don't have my bag and my lunch pail. My belongings. Yes, they're still in the cubby. So I don't know what was going through my mind, but the teacher then takes me back to second grade, sits me down, and I stop crying. I think because I'm reunited and I'm all cried out. I'm like,
oh, maybe get there. Kids get there. Yeah. You all cried out.
Maybe this is where I'm supposed to belong after all.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and both the teachers, the first grade and the second grade teacher, are talking with the principal and they're like, what I can imagine is like, he stopped crying. Call the parents. They phone my parents and they say, this is what happened. Your child is in the second grade. He stopped crying. Should we just leave him here? My mom, I think she called my mom, said, yeah. Without, like, to my knowledge, any hesitation.
Yeah, yeah.
No concerns. Yeah, he stopped crying. Good. Leave him in there. He's fine.
Yeah.
Long story short, or shorter, they never went back to do any kind of like, you were supposed to be in this classroom. They just left me there, changed my grades. So since that day, I'd never taken first grade. And I've always, up until college, I always was in classrooms with people that were older than me.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's kind of wild, you know, to think about, like, do you need first grade? Like, surely I've forgotten. So maybe this is that late bloomer thing we were talking about some time ago, where like, I'm playing catch up, maybe because I've always felt that I'm a year, like, I don't deserve to be
younger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy, because I was always one of the youngest in my class.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For just because your birthday is on a,
in the fall.
In the fall. Yeah. Yeah. So you turn while you're.
So yeah, yes. I graduated 17, where most people were 18.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Whoa.
Wait. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because you're in the summer, fall.
Yeah.
Fall.
August, so summer.
That's so funny, dude. I remember crying my first day, too.
Did you?
Like, yeah, of course.
Anybody else out there listening, watching? Did you guys cry in first grade or like early education?
Before we... Please let us know any of your spiritual journeys and stuff like that.
Please.
We'd love to hear. Me and my girl have a joke.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last thing I'll say. Of like when we imagine having kids one day.
Yeah.
And as you know, my girl is very like confrontational.
Yep.
And I'm very like jokey about like a lot of my stuff. So we have a joke about like when our kids get in trouble, we get phone calls. It's like,
what can they handle?
Yeah. What'd they do? Oh, that's your kid. What'd they do?
Oh, that's my kid. Yeah. Ownership. Like, yeah.
Did they make fun of somebody? All right, I'll take it. Did they punch somebody? That's your kid.
Yeah. You know? What if they did both? What if they elbow drop somebody and said,
then we both
show up. Okay. Team effort.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
But I am David Morales. You can find me everywhere at Active Poet.
And I am Tossie Alabastro. You can find me everywhere at Tossie Alabastro.
And this has been our podcast,
Art Time Job,
where we remind you to make time for your art.
Mm-hmm.
And
dig up those memories, I guess.
Dig up those memories. Feel good about it, you know?
Yeah. Share it with someone.
Yeah, share it. Share with us.
Yeah.
What do you like? What do you want to hear more of? Please, we'd love to hear anything.
Hey, we might even read it.
Yeah.
If that's okay with you.
Can we read it?
That'd be great.
From who you are?
Yeah, too? You could even say anonymous.
Yeah, or you can say, hey, say my name, and we might say your name.
Say my name, Sam.
Feel free to write in the comments, Jesus Christ!
I can't believe that's the same episode.
Yeah.
Just the same episode.
Jesus Christ!
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.